Brings us subset D. This is Title 9 and Fire, and Daniel will go with the same operation here, and I'll let you give the staff recommendations.
Thank you very much. Upon review of this particular title, there is some broad authority and language that is given to the Volunteer Fire Department, policing powers that are used during emergencies, and different things like that, that I think it's just important to make sure that the council is aware of. The staff is not making any recommendations that any of that be changed. However, I do think that's important to make sure that you're fully aware of that. Also, the title does include the establishment or potential establishment of a deferred compensation plan for the Volunteer Fire Department. That was an initiative that the Volunteer Fire Department brought up in 2011, and so the city did proceed with that. However, after adopting that in the ordinance, they chose that they did not want to actually proceed with that. So even though we're not currently using that, we still believe that it's important to leave that in, because in the future, the Volunteer Fire Department may want to authorize or proceed with that. So even though that's currently not in use, we do think it's a valuable tool that perhaps in the future the Volunteer Fire Department might want to use. But after reviewing the entire title, there are two areas of discussion that we wanted to bring forward. The first is in regards to false alarms. Currently within the ordinance, if you have three false alarms within a 12-month period, then you receive a fee for $25. That has been useful in getting some alarm systems that, frankly, are beyond their prime and they start having faulty issues. There tends to be a lot of calls and those sorts of alarms, and sometimes there are owners that are hesitant to replace those systems because there's a cost involved. But once you start charging them a fine, then they will start to make the investment to actually upgrade the alarm system, reducing the number of false alarms. The issue with that is there's not an actual definition as to what a false alarm is. And so that has at times caused discussions with property owners as to whether it truly was a false alarm or not. So we are recommending that there actually be a definition as to what a false alarm is so that we can properly enforce the intent of that. The one area that I think the council should be considering over the next few weeks before we actually prepare that is whether or not a cooking issue is truly a false alarm or not. There are times when, and usually it's burnt toast, and anyone who receives the pages sees the startling number of burnt toast calls that we get in a week, where that causes an alarm to go off, and ironically it tends to be at the same households. And so in some people's mind, that's not necessarily a false alarm, but still these are volunteers who take off from work or leave their family and go into a truck and respond to an area to find out that it's burnt toast. So that is something I think should be up for consideration. Again, not that we need specific language from the council right now, but I think we are asking that we have a definition of that, and the staff's recommendation would be that smoke without flame or something would constitute still a false alarm. The second area of discussion is definitely probably going to cause more discussion, and that's in regards to fireworks. That has been brought up, I think, 6 months ago or so at the council. There has been a lot of concern about the use of fireworks within the city and how we are able to respond to that. The chief was here. Okay. I was about to say who conveniently left during the recess. Was supposed to be here to help describe how we're able to actually respond to fireworks. There are some safety concerns that we hear from a few residents. You can't escape that easily there.
Of course, as he went out, he came in.
That occasionally there are a few people who use fireworks during the designated periods that are authorized in the city limits, and sometimes there are some safety issues that come from that. There has been discussion about whether or not the city should authorize a specific location where people could ignite fireworks. That is similar to what occurs in Whitewood and I think Hot Springs, or not? Okay, not anymore. So at least Whitewood does do that. We've had a lot of discussions as staff. We do not recommend that. Even though we apparently have not seen any problems in Whitewood, we do think, honestly, just the congregation of people in one area increases the likelihood that there's going to be some sort of accidental, incident that would occur from that. And honestly, you are worried, or we're worried about any liability if the city designates a location and then someone actually does get hurt from that. What would the liability be on the city? If you do want to look at making any changes, there have been recommendations from a couple of residents regarding limiting the types of fireworks that are authorized to be lit in the city. Sometimes limiting the height that a firework can go. So in other words, not the mortar shells and maybe not bottle rockets, but maybe allowing fountains up to 6 feet, 8 feet, whatever that might happen to be. Again, the staff does not necessarily recommend making that change. The issue is that that of enforcement, that just because one is being lit off, that doesn't mean you can call the fire or the police department, and within 5 minutes, the police department can come and write out a ticket to that individual. The police department, to make that ticket enforceable, really needs to be able to witness that. That becomes really an enforcement nightmare. I remember a meeting, I think it was in August, where I got to listen to the Sioux Falls mayor, who stated that there were, for several years, fireworks have been illegal in the city of Sioux Falls, and they had several hundred calls of complaints. And yet there were no tickets issued, and there couldn't be any tickets issued because no officers really witnessed anything, and there was no corroborating evidence that this individual actually lit off that particular firework. So that enforcement does become a larger issue. With that being said, though, the council, if you would like, could proceed to ban the certain fireworks from being lit within the city limits, or you could ban all fireworks from being lit. Knowing, however, that is still a significant part of kind of 4th of July celebrations that I think there are a lot of residents that do enjoy. The city currently does ban Chinese lanterns from being lit within the city limits. However, with that being said, at least one of the two fireworks stands that are open during the 4th of July do actually sell those. So the staff would recommend that there would be further language inserted that would actually ban the sale of Chinese lanterns within the city as well as lighting those within the city limits. That's just a significant fire safety issue that we have given the prairie as well as the Black Hills. With that being said, I have provided to the council members a letter that I received from a resident, Gary Mackey. He did ask that I would read that into the record. He's unfortunately unable to be here, so if the council would not mind, I would like to read it. To the City of Sturgis council members, I am hereby entering this letter to the record as the council considers whether or not to allow the discharge of private personal fireworks within city limits. I, like many Americans, love the ability to discharge fireworks when the council approved them several years ago. That love, however, has turned into a want to see them banned. Over the past 3 years, I have seen a neighbor's child get sent to the ER with burns from a malfunctioning firework, have had an artillery shell bounce off my house and explode in my backyard, had intoxicated neighbors throw an artillery shell into the drainage ditch next to a home just to see what it could do, and have cleaned up pounds, yes, pounds, of firework garbage out of my yard. Most of that garbage is from artillery shells that explode over my property and land on my roof and yard. That firework garbage includes an unexploded shell I almost mowed over last year. 2 years ago, my wife and I had to leave Sturgis for 2 days, July 3rd and 4th, because our dog was so afraid of them. We feared for his health. A plea to that neighbor to stop shooting off artillery shells on July 2nd that year because of our dog was met with a laugh, even though they weren't allowed on July 2nd. I feel the carelessness and lack of responsibility I am seeing is getting worse and worse every year. It will only lead to someone really getting hurt or a fire. It's time to shut them down. By the way, that child who got sent to the ER, that was my malfunctioning firework that did that, a turning point for me. I would much rather enjoy the Sturgis Independence Day evening watching the wonderful display put on by the city every year. With that said, there was one other point of discussion that I think the council should have over the coming weeks, and that is a concern about some of the trash and debris that occurs from that. There is an idea that perhaps in the ordinance there could be language stating that property owners are responsible for the cleanup of the fireworks in their property as well as the public right-of-way that's immediately adjoining. Honestly, the vast majority of people do a great job of cleaning it up, but there are those occasional bad actors who light off a battlefield and then leave it there. And that does take a lot of city resources to clean up afterwards. So that would be a recommended change in the ordinance that would actually insert that those requirements are of the private property owner.
Thanks, Daniel. How about council input? This point. Title IX fire. Public input. Well, go ahead.
And this is a difficult one. I look at this as it got brought into the town 2014. Is that correct? Or when's the first time that we could...
2014 is when you could sell in the city limits. You could light them since before I arrived in 2011.
A couple of years before that. So, you know, it was brought in. I'd like to know what their plan was. Because now we're look where we're at, and I understand that we allowed them to have sales in town. You know, of course, if they're going to shoot them in here, then we want to have them sell them in town. And now, here we are. So I'm here to listen to the public.
I'm Jessica Daniels. I live at 1529 West Farley. Our neighborhood loves fireworks. But I tell you what, it is a good idea to set an ordinance for cleanup. We do a great job up there. We get in touch with all the neighbors around. If there's any garbage, we go check around. The kids get together and we clean up everything. But setting a ban, it just takes the fun out of the whole freedom of 4th of July. We've all enjoyed it. The whole thing on the big fireworks, they're really a whole lot of fun. They're a lot easier to clean up than you've got bottle rockets going every whichever way. Like what we do is we do the big boxes. It is right there in our lot, and we go and we clean it up. But it's not just shooting everywhere to where it's out of our range. But the cleanup, definitely, I can see that whole point. I know that is a big, big problem. But the ban on not letting any off, I disagree with big time.
Milo Cold, I live on 2020 Cleveland Street. I want to reiterate what Mr. Ainsley said. Our neighbors put off, I don't know how many firecrackers were in this morning I got up. Firecracker stuff in the yard, and that, whatever it was they lit in their driveway, less than 20 feet from our house. I guess my opinion, I would. Dog thing, our dog is the same.
Any other input? Come on, Kim.
We have a dog that hides in the shower when there are fireworks going off everywhere. But I wouldn't give up the fireworks for anything. And we do make it part of 4th of July. And, for us, my husband and I go sit up on top of the hill and we watch the city fireworks and we watch everyone else's too. Amazing. And I just think that needs to be a part of. Dogs get over it. They're not going to die from the stress.
I have a comment. I remember growing up in Sturgis when you couldn't set him off. And we still did. And the cops showed up, and my parents said they're hiding in the backyard. So it didn't stop us from doing that. I hear Mr. Mackey's letter, and I hear the comments about inconsiderate neighbors. to me, that speaks more to just a common courtesy, a lack of common courtesy from neighbors. And I'm not sure that we can regulate that. I think that looking at, you know, cleanup, certainly something that we should do, because we look at length of grass on lawns. We look at, you know, other yard waste and trashed out cars. And so, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate when you have inconsiderate neighbors, but it's wonderful when you have good neighbors and everyone's working together. I love seeing the 4th of July fireworks here in town. Some people had amazing displays that were really almost, you know, like what they do at the fairground. Yeah, I mean, so I know that it's an emotional issue and everyone has their opinion, but I'm not in support of changing our ordinance right now.
I'll give a little, I guess, a personal testimony that happened to me. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but the city fireworks were done not on the 4th. They were done, I think, the 3rd, and it must have been last year. And I live up on Hillside Drive. I was able to sit on my front deck and watch the city fireworks and then watch all of the other fireworks all around town. And I think the rest of the town had a better show than the city fireworks, and it was really great. And that was on the 3rd. And then the 4th, I went down to my daughter's house on Glover Street.
Where the cops came.
At the same place where you used to live and shoot off fireworks, and I watched those. But then when I returned home that night, my neighbors were all setting off fireworks, and my garage door still has pock marks on the garage door because of some of the ordnance that hit the garage door. And then I also have a bush underneath my front deck that has a burn hole about this big around in it, and it caught on fire. If that would have kept burning, it might have burnt my house down. But at least the neighbors saw it happening, and they went up with buckets of water and put it out, evidently. That's what they told me. So, but I'm still real torn. I don't think I want to ban fireworks in Sturgis.
I'm Deb Colda, 2020 Cleveland Street. I hear all your different sides, but the fireworks that we're seeing today are not the fireworks that we bought when I was a kid. These are very heavy-duty fireworks. My husband referred to the things that were in the yard. We had all kinds of stuff again in our yard after the New Year's Eve. And they don't clean up, not everyone, some do, but it's good if it's a group event because it's not just your yard that debris is left in. And if you are going to allow them to be set off, I would really like to see some sort of limit on, I don't know what you call it, but if it's artillery, to me that's not fireworks. That's something that only a professional should be shooting off, where they know what they're doing and they direct it in the right way. And when you also combine 4th of July drinking with 4th of July fireworks, you have a real nightmare. Thank you.
Anybody else on Title IX discussion?
I guess I'll comment. I must live in the wrong area because I live on the corner of 5th and Main, and the only thing I hear and see for the 4 days of the 4th of July is bombs going off in the parking lot closest to the community center. And when you go over in the morning, go early, because Public Works, I believe, cleans it up before anybody can see it. So there is a cost to the city. The one morning I was there before 5 o'clock, it was a foot deep in a circle where they'd parked their cars. I think there needs to be a limit. There's excerpts of 5 ordinances in the package. And every one of them is either forbidden or limited. I know the chief. I've talked to the chief about this myself personally. he's got to see them light it to do anything. So maybe, you know, we need to look at unlawfully assembly. And if it's a yard on Farley Street with more than five people in one group, maybe it's an unlawful assembly. And then you get the option to confiscate the fireworks to see which ones are too big. We don't need to be setting off artillery shells. Some of the stuff that's set off within 300 feet of my house is as big as what the professionals shoot off at the fairgrounds. Anyway, I think there needs to be a limit.
Any last discussion?
Yes, I just have one thing on sort of the noise stuff. We do host the world's largest motorcycle rally in the world. And so that's where I sort of, I mean, you have one night of fireworks going off or two, and then you have 9 to 15 days of motorcycles, whether it's 2 in the morning to, I mean, it's a tough one for Sturgis anyways, I guess, for the noise situation. And it's the same thing with the dirty, you know, the fireworks all over. And, it can be beer cans all over. I mean, like I said, we do have the rally here too. And we hope that everybody cleans up and picks up and is a good Samaritan and everything. But I am for having fireworks in Sturgis.
Anything else? Come on up.
Jim Clocky, 1525 Farley. I live next door. I love the fireworks. I can't tell you, my earliest memories were of my father and I lighting off ladyfinger, you know, small fireworks and stuff like that, but I was of that age. And I was taught well how to react, how to work with them. I hear a lot of conversation this evening with regard to different issues. Okay, I'm not certain I know or understand yet what we're trying to solve here. In other words, is the issue noise for the dogs, or is it the neighbors that don't clean up, or is it just generally we want to disallow all fireworks? So I'm really confused about this. As Jason pointed out, we live here in the rally, which has all of those components, and we still tolerate it. We talked about Title III and alcohol. Nobody said anything about car crashes or alcoholism or anything like that in there. Or even taking the money that would come from charity work or things like that to go to some good portion of that. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that I do not want, or I would, it's my opinion, we do not want to ban fireworks at all. Thank you.
Question, sir.
Yes.
How many nights do you set them off?
Whatever is allowed.
Two nights on the 4th of July.
Yes, and on New Year's Eve, I follow exactly what's allowed, okay, because I want my actions to be a testament to the children who were here earlier to understand what's going on, okay? They gotta know. You gotta teach them, right? So teach them responsibly. Get out there with them, just like my father did to me, and I'm passing that along.
There's no parents with the 16 and 17 year olds in the parking lot that's 20 deep, and it goes on for 7 days. That's the issue, and our police force cannot do anything about it, Mr. Vanderwerth has been at my door several times listening to complaints, and there's nothing he can do because he's they put a ring of cars around it and they light him off inside the cars. He can't see unless he's looking over a car hood. This goes on for 7 days. And New Year's Eve isn't any better. It's about 3 days.
I think you need some better parental control over there then. I would take some license plate numbers and call the parents.
It doesn't work that way. Not for
okay,
a private
well,
citizen.
It works that way a lot of different ways, too, with other things. I mean, alcohol. I don't drink. But do I want an alcohol banned? No, I wouldn't do that.
So, Chief, are you not able to ask those kids to disassemble and leave the parking lot? I mean, I remember in the day when you'd have more than 10 cars in the parking lot at Taco John's that they would make us leave.
They're on private property.
But Taco John's was private property, and the cops would show up.
They're on private property. If the landowner doesn't want them there, they can call us. I don't feel it's real ethical if we sit and call the landowner and say, hey, do you want us to kick these kids off there? We've had issues in the past where we've had to run them out of them places, but they come back, and it's usually after they've damaged the place with trash and with trash or fireworks or breaking some of the water lines there. Landowners or whoever gets fed up finally and calls us, so then it gives us some kind of something to sink our teeth into, but just because they're sitting there in the parking lot doesn't mean we can go get rid of them, especially on private property.
So would a trash ordinance or any kind of cleanup, would that give you
some We've done some
teeth?
Education of trying to visit because we do have a kids' trash problem. They're not even counting fireworks. We've had issues of them throwing trash there. We've actually gone as far as sitting trash cans right there. And they won't even move the 2 to 5 feet away. You know, and if we see trash sitting next to the car, you and I both know they probably did it, but unfortunately we didn't witness it. So there's not a lot we can do. We go and we talk to them. We try to tell them, hey, guys, be a little more respectful of the place, and you're not going to get kicked out of there.
Is there a way that you can say that the property's a nuisance during that those days? And also, I mean, Mike, have you talked to the property owners? What response do you get from them?
The size of the powder charge. I don't want to see my grandkids not grow up with sparklers and bottled rockets. They get their money from, but I mean, they're probably shooting off $500-$600 a night.
You know, I mean, there again, you know, Mr. Feist, if his property is a nuisance during those days for fireworks, and he is, you know, being made aware of it and yet is doing nothing, there again, it's a good citizen question. That's how I look. Perhaps, yeah.
And I agree with you to a certain point, but I don't feel it's an ethical decision for us to go seek at us as the police department to go seek you out as a private property owner and saying, hey, you want us to run these kids out of there? I think that's where the property owners got some due diligence to be proactive in that as well. And I feel that that's setting us up for some kind of failure if I'm seeking that property owner out to try to say, hey, can I go harass these kids or can I go run these kids off your property? And then they move from somewhere else. But if I get if we get complaints, we will address them.
We prefer enforcing the law, not necessarily harassing those kids.
That just did it. Nowadays, that's what it's construed, is that we're harassing them when we go there. And we go there, try to get compliance by verbal, explaining to them, hey, guys, we want you to have a place to hang out too, but if you keep trashing the place, the owner's going to get fed up with you. You know, we've worked with Public Works, setting multiple trash cans out. It's the same thing we had up on Sly Hill. Them trash cans ended up down City Park over the cliff. So that's why we end up having to change some of the parking up there to where you're not allowed to park up there to help, you know, unfortunate.
Thanks for your input. We feel good about our discussion on Title IX.